Foster care helps children live in safe spaces while problems in their family homes get sorted out. Sometimes the sorting out does not work, and the children stay in foster care until they are no longer children. So they become adults without family supports, including money. You can imagine how much harder that would have made the economic dislocation of the pandemic. So the state of Oregon recently announced a total of $2 million of emergency cash assistance for young people who had been in foster care at some point. Let's get some details. Two guests join us. Lacey Andreessen is Deputy Director of Child Welfare Practice and Program in the Oregon Department of Human Services. Lacey, welcome to you.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning.
Good morning. And Celeste Bodner joins us as well, the director of Foster Club. Hi, Celeste.
Hi, Jeff.
Good to have you both here. Lacey, start with you, please. What happens to children when they reach the end of foster care?
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, we have multiple programs available for them as they transition into adulthood, both via working with them to increase their capacity around job skills, as well as education and assistance with housing as well. So that we have, you know, a wraparound approach to help young adults as they transition into adulthood.
Other than what we're talking about here today, I mean, is there ever much in the way of a grant, of something like here's a bunch of money to get started?
Yeah, we have ongoing support, education and training vouchers, transitional housing supports, and some cash assistance. And then via the Consolidated Appropriations Act, which we're going to talk about today, there's additional support specific to COVID-related needs that young people have.
Well, let's talk about that need then in particular, because, I can imagine the pandemic, if you're kind of on the edge anyway financially, the pandemic did not help, clearly. And what kinds of specific impacts were noticed upon the group of people who had aged out of foster care?
Yeah, challenges for them were related specifically to housing, transportation, navigating higher education. So they really felt the pandemic in all of those ways.
Let's turn to Celeste Bodner from Foster Club. Tell us first, what is Foster Club?
Sure. So Foster Club is a network for young people who experience foster care. And so sort of the idea of Foster Club is that while we understand that foster care is a necessary safety net for young people in our society, that going through foster care can be really tough. So foster care provides direct support to young people as they're going through the foster care system. And we also elevate their voices to advocate for system change.
Interesting. So in essence, getting people from the system to work to change the system?
Absolutely. And our young people from Foster Club actually led the charge in advocating for extra federal resources all last year. And we were successful in advocating for $400 million in emergency relief to serve young people across the country. And so we're really excited to be able to be playing a part to distributing some of those funds to young people in Oregon. We're actually an Oregon-based organization. Our national headquarters are in Seaside, Oregon.
Seaside, wow. It's not the usual place you think of for headquarters for a national organization, but there you are.
That's right.
So you mentioned, though, direct support from Foster Club to young people. Where does that come from, and what is it earmarked for?
Absolutely. So we are very proud to have partnered with the state of Oregon for, about 20 years now so far. So we've worked very closely with the Independent Living Program to provide services for young people across the state, including things like running an annual youth conference for young people who are preparing to transition out of foster care. This year, with the addition of these new funds that are available, Foster Club is actually processing some of the funds to young people who've been affected by the pandemic.
And so you mentioned that that Foster Club was a big push, or was it $400 million, you said, across the country?
That's right.
Uh-huh. And was it tucked into one of the various relief bills?
It was. So it was tucked into the Consolidated Appropriations Act that passed in December of 2020. Funding was handed down to states around March of this year. And so it's been a tough thing to implement because it is brand new funding. So there have been some glitches in figuring out how to get funding passed to young people. But we're really pleased that money, that aid is now flowing.
So Lacey Andreessen, the alert came from the Oregon Department of Human Services in mid-July. Did it take that long just to kind of get the system set up for how you were going to disperse this money?
It did. We, as Celeste just mentioned, we had to develop the program around it, all of the rule and procedure around it, and then work with Foster Club to determine who was going to be distributing the funds. We are proud of being one of the first states to get the funding out and flowing.
Okay. So so even with a bit of a lag there, one of the earlier ones to get into process here. And it's a pretty tight deadline, is that right?
Go ahead, Lacey.
No, Celeste, sorry.
Yeah, Celeste, take this one, please.
Sure. It's a little bit confusing, the timing, but the initial and the bulk of the funding must be spent down by September 30th of this year. So that deadline is pretty tight. Some of the supports are ongoing until September of next year.
All right, but the major issue is that it sounds like the dispersal needs to happen by the end of the current federal fiscal year.
That's correct. And so we're doing a lot currently to try to push the word out to young people who've experienced foster care, and also to get word out to those people who may know young people who experience foster care. So we've been doing outreach to foster parents, CASAs, homeless shelters, all of those folks who generally come into contact with young people as they transition out of foster care. And we've been working closely with the Oregon Independent Living Program to do that. One of the sort of great pieces, I think, is that we've actually engaged five peer navigators, so young people who've experienced foster care themselves, to help us with some of that outreach. So these five peer navigators are working with Foster Club. They're all young people who range in age from 18 to 26, and they're actually doing the person-to-person outreach.
Oh, actually person-to-person. When you're saying navigator, this is not just to teach you how to do social media better. This is actually trying to get a hold of people in person.
That is right. They're actually, we're using actually a lot of email and phone and Zoom calls to do that outreach because of the ongoing concerns about the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But they've been trained and they're being supported to actually do the outreach.
All right. I said person to person. I meant just, sort of, I said in person. I didn't mean person to person. See, I'm even messing it up now.
Right.
We are talking about money for children who have aged out of foster care in the state of Oregon as part of a federal package. Oregon's share of that is $2 million in emergency cash assistance for people who had been in foster care at some time. Our guests are Celeste Bodner, who's the director of Foster Club, national organization based in Seaside, Oregon. Lacey Andreessen is deputy director of child welfare practice and program at the Oregon Department of Human Services, and you may have a viewpoint you'd like to express or question to ask. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. That's by phone. By email, though, it's jx@jeffnet.org. Lacey, who is eligible then? I see there's something, an estimated 4,000 young people might get this.
Yeah, so any young person through the age of 26 up to their 27th birthday who experienced foster care when they were 14 or older, and that includes the Oregon child welfare system as well as any Oregon tribal nation or foster care in another state.
And what is the money designated for? There are some restrictions on how it can be used?
Yes, so there's expansion of the education and training grant funds. That's up to $5,000 per student, and that's offsetting any cost of attendance for post-secondary education or a training program. And then there's also additional funds up to $7,000 per student that can cover, or $7,000 per young person, that can cover food, housing, transportation, supplies, really anything that they need assistance with that's in correlation to effects of the pandemic.
So does it come to them as cash or a bank deposit, or does it come to them in the form of things like Oregon Trail cards or payments to housing providers, whatever?
I can take that one, Jeff.
You go ahead, Celeste.
So the way Foster Club is distributing funds, we're using all those ways. So in some cases, we're paying a vendor directly, if it's a landlord, for instance, or a university. In some cases, young people need cash assistance. We're seeing lots of requests for young people whose education was interrupted during the pandemic, and so they need help, for instance, getting back into school, need help catching up on past fees and so forth to get back on track with their education, We're also seeing lots of young people who were laid off during the pandemic. And so they are behind in either rent or in their other kinds of bills. And so helping them to get caught up in those helps them sort of rebound from what they experienced during the pandemic.
All right, so a lot of different ways that the money can be used, it sounds like, and a lot of different ways it can be gotten into the hands of the people who are going to use it. But now, is there anything that's specifically forbidden? Is there anything that money specifically cannot be used for the way the legislation is written and the way the program is set up in Oregon? I guess we'll put that to you, Lacey.
Yeah, I think anything that we can work with the young person about that's specific to the effects of the pandemic. So if we're not able to draw the correlation to how it is related to a cost accrued because of COVID, that would not be something we would be able to support. But we have a pretty wide net right now, given this population and the effects that they felt so significantly because of COVID.
All right, so it has to be a COVID-related thing. How difficult can it be to prove that sort of thing, Lacey?
I don't think it's difficult. I think they, young people are working directly with their caseworkers or their ILP providers, foster club, and just talking through what their circumstances are and what their needs are.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned caseworkers, so some of these people clearly still have contact with the system.
Yes, there are young adults who can stay in foster care up to the age of 21, and they still have assigned caseworkers.
And then how long can they be involved in the independent living program?
Currently up to the age of 23.
Okay. Now, talk about the complexity on just the side of setting things up. I know we have watched several rounds of pandemic relief come through with programs that set up with the intention of putting money into the hands of people who most needed it. And then there were some snafus along the way to have to figure out, whoops, this is not exactly what we meant to do. We drafted things a little apart from what we intended, that sort of thing. I mean, so have you had a chance to learn some lessons, I guess, from other agencies in setting up this disbursement, Lacey?
Yeah, I think we've learned a lot, from our own experience with program implementation. One of the things that we really looked to was young people who had experienced foster care to inform, as well as multiple stakeholders that serve this population. We increased communication through the pandemic, immediately with our service providers, as well as young people who had experienced foster care. And so I think the voice of lived experience really helped us think through what had worked. We had those folks with us in the work groups and the committees really sitting at the table to develop exactly how this should be done and done well.
Lacey Andreessen is with the Oregon Department of Human Services, the Deputy Director of Child Welfare Practice and Programs. Celeste Bodner is with us as well, the Director of Foster Club, as we talk about disbursement of $2 million in emergency cash assistance for people from, in, and just out of the foster care system in Oregon. Your questions and comments are welcome as well at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Celeste, how do people apply for this relief?
So the application process through Foster Club is fairly simple. They can just visit fosterclub.com. There's a link on our front page to take them to a form that they fill out that requests aid. From there, our peer navigators and staff review the applications and work with the young person individually to gather the documentation and so forth for the request.
So does the whole $2 million come through Foster Club, or is some of it also held back at DHS?
Funding is being distributed both through Foster Club and through the Independent Living Program currently.
Okay. And so is there a specific amount for each, or is it just a matter of getting all the applications in and figuring out where to go from there?
Foster Club has a set amount of the funds, and we are managing about $1.4 million of the funding directly. And I'm not quite sure about how much the State of Oregon Independent Living Program is handling directly. Lacey might know that.
So
it's the balance.
So the $600,000. Okay.
Yep. That's correct.
So and are there any income tests or qualifications or disqualifications on that basis, Celeste?
So there aren't straight income tests. We actually work directly with the young person to get a better understanding of their scenario. Each case is really different. And I have to say, and I've been taking a look at some of the cases individually with our peer navigators myself, and the requests that the young people are putting in are really reasonable. To date, we have not yet had a request that I think is egregiously outrageous or anything like that. Most of these young people are looking for really basic aid to help them get back on track. So some of the young people, for instance, are just starting to go back to work, but they have this sort of burden of past debt, or they're facing eviction for the rent. And so usually it's that type of aid that we're looking at. But we don't have clear-cut income requirements.
All right. And you mentioned ages 14 to 26. So if you turned, 27 after July 15th, you're not eligible, Lacey?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So, and then, so Celeste, talk about, you mentioned seeing some applications already. How brisk has been the cascade of people seeking this aid?
Yeah, so far we've had about 200 applications. We've had our application portal open now for about 4 weeks. The requests are coming in. We have some new advertising that's running in the Portland metro area on TriMet bus lines and bus benches. We also have some digital ads that are running. And so we are seeing activity pick up in the application process. But the main key has been to get the word out to young people who had experienced foster care, particularly those that are older, who've left the foster care system, maybe not been connected to the foster care system for some time. That's the population that quite frankly, is pretty tough to reach.
Well, and that raises the question about whether they would really just have this all behind them, where there are some people who just like, forget it. I'm from the foster system. It was a lousy childhood. I want it behind me now. Is that potentially an obstacle?
It can definitely be an obstacle. I think this is one of the ways that Foster Club has partnered effectively with the state of Oregon, in that we are not a state-run system. We're a separate nonprofit. We are for young people, by young people. And by having the peer navigators do the outreach, it tends to sort of break down that barrier. We've found that young people gain a lot by being connected to other young people who've had similar difficulties in their childhood growing up, and that there is sort of a trust bridge that instantly forms.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So final question, because we're almost out of time here for Lacey, which is, I see there's also some expanded CHAFE grants available separate from the emergency cash assistance, and that application looks like it's coming up soon.
Yes. The applications are being taken over the summer, and the increase in the funding is from $2,500 is increased to $5,000.
Okay, and these are educational grants, and that application is due, the last notice I saw was August 1st. Is that still the case?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So a fair amount of money out there at the moment available for people who have experienced foster care in every state, but we're talking about particularly in the state of Oregon. So I want to thank our guests for joining us. Lacey Andreessen is Deputy Director of Child Welfare Practice and Program in the Oregon Department of Human Services. Celeste Bodner is the Director of Foster Club based in Oregon, but nationwide. Thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeff.